Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As Christians, we are called to become reproducing disciple makers. We're not called to make converts, but rather to make disciples, and therefore it is crucial to be intimately acquainted with the ABCs of spiritual growth. No relationship can flourish without constant, heartfelt communication. And this is true not only of human relationships, but also in our relationship with God. If we are to nurture a strong relationship with our Savior, we must be in constant communication with Him. And the way to do that is through prayer. Furthermore, it's crucial that we spend time reading God's written revelation of Himself. The Bible not only forms the foundation of an effective prayer life, but the Bible is foundational to every other aspect of Christian living. And while prayer is our primary way of communicating with God, the Bible is God's primary way of communicating with us. Therefore, nothing should take precedence over getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into us. If you fail to eat well-balanced meals on a regular basis, you will eventually suffer the physical consequences. And what is true of the outer man is also true of the inner man. If we do not regularly feed on the Word of God, we will starve spiritually. Of course, it's also crucial that new believers become active participants in a healthy, well-balanced church. In Scripture, the church is referred to as a body of Christ. And just as our body is one and yet has many parts, so too the body of Christ is one, but composed of many members. So those who receive Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives are part of the church universal, but it's also crucial that all Christians become vital, reproducing members of a local body of believers as well. Let's go first today to Randy, listening in Fairfield, California. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering, when we get to heaven, will we still need to study the Bible, or will this have so many new things to study?
Well, I mean, the Bible is an inexhaustible repository of truth and grace and love and riches and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And therefore, the Bible transcends time and space. But remember, we'll also be in the presence of the very one who saved us by His grace. So we, like the disciples, will be able to ask Jesus Christ questions. The disciples asked Jesus a question on the Mount of Olives. He had said something about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. They wanted answers to why He said what He said. And so they asked Him questions. He answered those questions. In eternity, we will ask Jesus questions because humanity will never bear the burden of omniscience, which is to say, even in eternity, we will not know everything, and therefore we will learn and grow. But in that process, we will be in the presence of the living, resurrected Christ as well.
Oh, that sounds good. Can I ask you one more quick
sure.
question? I've been listening to Doug Batchelor. I know he's Seventh-day Adventist. Should I listen to him or not?
Well, I think when you listen to him, you have to use discernment skills. I mean, that's what you are told to do as a Christian, discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. And you need to be so familiar with essential Christian doctrine, therefore, that when there is an error, you see that error by contrast. I think it's very important to recognize that in some cases, Doug Batchelor is teaching truth. In other cases, he's teaching error. And you have to have discernment skills to tell the difference.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Let me say just a few words about Seventh-day Adventism. I've said this before, but there are Adventists who are thoroughly orthodox and embrace the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And therefore, with those Adventists, I might vigorously debate secondary issues, but we're unified around the essentials for which the martyrs shed their blood. There are also Adventists who are thoroughly liberal and compromise and confuse and consistently contradict essential Christian doctrine like the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection, and the infallibility of Scripture. And then there are traditionalists in the Adventist movement, and unfortunately, they major on aberrant Adventist doctrines, soul sleep, Sabbatarianism. I can't tell you how many times I've finished a speaking engagement somewhere, and the last people always seem to be Seventh-day Adventism adherents who are telling me that if I don't start worshiping on Saturday instead of Sunday, I'm taking on the mark of the beast. And they also hold very strongly to the seer status of Ellen G. White. And in sharp distinction to these kinds of ideas, like soul sleep, the Bible provides ample evidence that the soul continues to exist apart from the body. Likewise, God himself provided the early Christian church with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. And not only that, with respect to Ellen G. White, who claimed divine authority for her prophecies, she was obviously mistaken when she prophesied that she would be alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I wouldn't major on her as a prophetess. Again, I've written about this in various places, including an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Sylvia next in Fresno, California. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Thank you. I just have a question. Her name is Pastor Melissa Scott.
Yeah.
Now, she seems to be intelligent, but I just want to know, what is your opinion, and is she on the Word of God, or is she off?
It's a pretty muddy mixture. She was the wife of Gene Scott.
Yes.
Gene Scott, if you watched him during the last few years of his ministry, became increasingly outrageous and offensive. His language was crude, it was abusive, it was even profane at times. And he dabbled in pyramidology and promoted a variation of false doctrines, including Anglo-Israelism, which he specialized in. And his wife, Melissa Scott, has followed in somewhat the same train. So she teaches many of the same teachings that Gene Scott taught, has a very similar preaching style, same obsession with word origins. And I think you should have real strong discernment skills if you watch her.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
You got it, Sylvia. Thank you so much for your call. Next up is Brad in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Hank. I want to thank you for your ministry. It's been greatly edifying to me, and I'm sure to millions of others. But my question is about the doctrine of hell and eternal torment and whether or not Christ's sacrifice on the cross was for all men, whether they're believers or not, or whether it's just for people who believe.
Well, it's only for those who want a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, this is a very important concept. God does not force himself on people either in this life or in the life to come. Certainly God could, but if that were the case, love would be rendered meaningless. If the only way you could get your wife or kids to love you was by pointing a gun at them, love would not be meaningful. So love has to be volitional. It has to be of the will to be meaningful. And that's why there are only two kinds of people in the world, as C.S. Lewis aptly pointed out, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." In other words, you don't want a relationship with me, I'm not going to force that on you for all eternity. And you also have to remember that without eternal separation, the very nature of heaven is polluted. Evil is contagious, and therefore it has to be quarantined because it's a deadly plague. And if it's not contained, it will continue to contaminate and corrupt. So if God did not eventually separate the tares from the wheat, using biblical vernacular, the tares would choke out the wheat. And the only way, therefore, to preserve an eternal place of good is to eternally separate all evil from it. In other words, the only way to have an eternal heaven is to have an eternal hell. And I think also you have to look at this from the perspective of common sense. Without hell, the wrongs of Hitler's Holocaust will never be righted. In other words, justice is going to be impugned if after slaughtering 6 million Jews, Hitler merely dies in the arms of a mistress and has no eternal consequences. So hell is a place where there are consequences, and all things in the afterlife will be put to right. Be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our callers. Next up is Dan in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. The question I had is, in a conversation with a pastor, a comment was made that, you know, I know someone who's been quite injured and gone through a lot of medical things, and it made the comment, well, maybe, you know, she's still praying and trying to understand why God allowed this. And the comment back to me was, well, God doesn't allow anything. He causes it. He causes everything. And he took the position that to say that God allows something is wrong. And I'm just wondering what your take would be on, does God allow things? And also, he went further to back up his comment that God causes everything scripturally by saying, you know it pretty well, God causes everything to work together for good to those who love him. Don't know if that's perfect, but anyway, and in my opinion, he took that way out of context because it wasn't saying God causes everything. It was in the context of the whole verse. So,
well,
what are your opinion on that?
Yeah, here's the way to think about this. It is correct and right to say that God created the potential for evil. It is incorrect and unbiblical to say that God is the author of evil. When I say God creates the potential of evil, I say that because God created people in such a way that they could choose to love him and serve him and worship him or reject him and dishonor him.
Right.
So because God created people as volitional beings, people who had will and choice, he created the potential for evil. We actualize that evil by our choices. And as a result of that, we now live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, people experience death, mourning, crying, pain, disease, destruction, decay, and even death. That is part and parcel of a fallen world. Again, because we actualized evil. But God, in his omnipotence and his omniscience and his love and grace and mercy, also provides a way to be reconciled with him and to have the best of all possible worlds, a world in which there is no more disease, destruction, or death or decay. So God has made a way for us to be reconciled to him so that paradise lost can again be paradise restored. So in God's infinite wisdom and mercy, he allows for everything to be restored. So we never say that Christianity gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life. It doesn't. In this life, you're going to have trouble, but it gives us something far better, a way to overcome it through the promise of resurrection.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand that. The question was, though, this person's praying to try to understand why God allowed them to get in this car accident.
No, but it's the function of living in a fallen world. If God is the predetermining causal agent of all situations, he becomes the author of evil. And not only that, but there's no substantial distinction then between God being the author of evil and God being in fact evil. So to say that God is the author of evil would be evil and unbiblical. Instead, we should say, on the basis of Scripture, that God created the potential for evil by giving human beings freedom of choice. And therefore, in this fallen world, you will experience difficult circumstances. It's a function of living in a fallen world.
Okay, so I think we're on the same page, but what kind of gnaws at me a little bit is the comment that, okay, just take, this person was in an unexpected accident. The question, I think the literal question that was on the table, or the comment that was on the table, was he said that God caused that injury.
No, I'm saying that's not right. I'm saying that this is the function of living in a fallen world. I mean, when I decided to have kids, I knew that they would experience pain and hurt and even death, and yet I decided to have kids. Now, when they experience pain and hurt and death, I think it's unfair for someone to say that I was the causal agent of that.
Right.
I know that they're born into a fallen world, and I know as a result of that, they're going to suffer. That's part of the human condition.
All right. Well, I appreciate the insight.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Timothy next, St. Louis, Missouri, KSIV. Hi, Timothy.
Yes. Hi, Hank. I had a question about marriage and adultery and so forth and so on. Look in several places in the Bible, in Romans and 1 Corinthians, Paul speaking about adultery and a woman that remarries, you know, if she remarries again after she's been divorced by her husband, she is considered an adulterous woman, you know. It might take, you know, meaning that daily she's committing adultery with another man, vice versa with the man too as well. Just to make a long story short, I've been kind of looking at this because this has been a topic of interest of mine lately. Is it a sin, even though God says he forgives, you know, the sin of adultery, if someone outside of the biblical reasons why God would allow for divorce, is it still a sin if I remarry a woman after a divorce or vice versa, if a woman remarries a man? You know, do they daily have to wake up and repent to God and ask them for forgiveness for committing adultery? Or is it once I have remarried or once that person has remarried, once that act of adultery has been committed, can that be forgiven and then you move on with your life? Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Forgetting the things that are behind, press forward in the grace and mercy of the Lord. You can't unscramble the egg, but what you can do is you can be faithful in the relationship in which you are now. And do remember that you made a qualifier earlier. Jesus says anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another commits adultery. And Paul also points out that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So there are exceptions. And there are grounds for people to get a divorce. But again, ultimately, it's because of the hardness of our heart. The ideal circumstance is for us to be willing to reconcile no matter what. I mean, that's always the best option. So if the doorway to reconciliation is open even a bit, we should try to walk through that doorway. But if you're fast-forwarding and you've sinned, you've done something unbiblical, and now you're remarried, you can't unscramble that egg, but you can be faithful in the relationship that you have now and press on to the high calling that God has for you.
But like right there, like what you just said, and that's what I'm stuck with, you know, like to my understanding, what I believe that for a biblical divorce is for sexual immorality or for if I divorce and go back to my wife, you know, reconciliation.
No, you can't do that. You can't unscramble the egg. If you are remarried, you are married again and have to be faithful in that circumstance. You have to confess your sin, recognizing that he is faithful and just. He will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then press on to the high calling that he has given you as a man of God, as a believer in the body, and as a faithful husband who has made an oath that he will love and cherish and nurture and honor until death do us part.
So outside of what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 3, where it says, so then if while her husband liveth, she is considered, she's bound by law, and she marries another, she's considered an adulteress. You know, so outside of that, God, if a person does remarry outside of a divorce, God will forgive us for that, and we're not committing a sin on a daily basis.
God will forgive you, and you confess your sin, and you do not have to live with the Damocles sword hanging over your head that each day that you're married to your wife, you're living in perpetual adultery. No, you simply press on. You confess your sin, and now you are faithful in the relationship that you're in. Again, you cannot unscramble the egg, and God does forgive. There are consequences to sin, and those consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. There's no mistaking that. You can look at the life of David for that. But God does forgive you. He will continue to use you because he uses fallen people, flawed people, people that make mistakes. Now, I would never encourage anybody to get a divorce. I would rather encourage people to work towards reconciliation. I think that's the greater good. There is, as we pointed out, there is biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. But if someone has done this incorrectly, there are a lot of reasons for that. Maybe they weren't truly a believer. Maybe they didn't truly understand. Maybe they willfully defied God, whatever. But no matter what it is, if you are willing to confess your sin, He is faithful to forgive you. And again, this doesn't mean we should approach sin with a cavalier fashion, but it does mean that God's grace is sufficient. It also means that you have to recognize when you make mistakes or you sin overtly, there are consequences to that. And that's enough said. But don't try to unscramble the egg. What you have to do is be faithful where God has placed you now.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument Broadcast. We do what we do because people stand with us prayerfully and financially. And quite frankly, we need your generosity, even as I speak, to give in a safe, secure fashion. Do remember the web at equip.org. So long for now. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man Broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man Broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.